Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Money Wise Women Show, brought to you by MoneyMorphosis.com. Are you ready to be inspired to upgrade your financial skills? Listen to feminine leaders sharing practical advice and valuable insight. Shift your money mindset, improve communication skills, and learn financial management tips. Although we do not provide investment advice, you can check out MoneyMorphosis.com. That's Money-MorphosisCom to find simple ways to boost your true wealth.
Hello, it's Crystal Arnold, your hostess today and founder of Money Morphosis. I have been so excited about today's guest, Casey Baker, because she truly works to empower women in finding and expressing their authentic voice. And as we all know, money conversations can be very stressful, whether it's we're asking for the raise we need, whether we are sitting down to talk with our partner or husband about finances and make big, important decisions, whether we are talking about family members, about day and will and trust and how money will pass through the generations. It is so important in these crucial, life-changing financial discussions to be able to express ourselves clearly and to really have the ability to stay calm and centered and use our voice to create what we want, and to be willing to ask questions when we need to and to have the space to be heard. And so I've seen again and again, as people are able to really up-level their communication skills, then they come into greater prosperity, entrepreneurs, and it's with their work or individually in their family and discussions about money. So Casey Baker truly has a gift and a broad knowledge to offer us today. She was previously an investment banking analyst and assistant for two U.S. senators. And Casey Baker is an international women's thought and leadership public speaking trainer, speechwriter, and TEDx speaker. She is renowned for her unorthodox and highly effective methodology. And she believes that the key to positive transformation in our world lies in supporting women in unleashing the brilliance of their voices. So she has worked with a lot of women entrepreneurs, corporate leaders, authors, founders of foundations, Olympians, TED speakers, politicians, and nonprofit social change makers. And the women she's worked with have truly gone on to create bigger influence, the change that is most important to them. So as I welcome Casey here today, I would love to invite you to share with our listeners what are you most excited about in your service and your work in the world?
Thank you. Well, first of all, I'm so honored to be here. I love what you're doing with women, and I'm really excited to be in this conversation because it's such a deeply important one. Well, what I love so much about what I do and why I do what I do, I mean, there's really just two major things. I mean, one is I love the experience of when a woman gets in front of a group of people and has a moment where the fear inside, the doubt that she feels, all of that, there's a moment when something else takes over, and it's the moment where she has a trust in herself and simply says what she needs to say and is connected to the value of what she has to say and the generosity of heart in that moment of sharing what that is with others. And in that moment, it's an incredible moment. It's a huge shift. When a woman has an experience like that, especially for the first time, it's a huge shift for her nervous system, and it's something that from there, just that experience of trust and being able to just say what is true for her in the presence of others, it just continues to get deeper and deeper over time. So that moment is so beautiful to me. I mean, it's like watching a flower bloom or a gorgeous sunset or something like that. It just so moves my heart and it brings me so much joy. So that's one of the huge reasons why I do what I do. And then the other is that, you know, I mean, I've known this for a long time now. I've known it in my soul. I know it in my bones. But now we have just so much compelling research and studies and incredible statistics that show the power of when a woman feels free to contribute what it is that she has to contribute in her community. Everybody benefits. And that is exactly the medicine that our world needs right now. So that for me is, you know, that in and of itself, I mean, that keeps me moving forward all the time in my work through tough times, through times of my own doubt. That vision and that commitment, knowing how deeply important this is for women to own the value of what they have to say and to say it, is huge. It's just huge.
That is so inspiring because it really is. As you said, so powerful to find our authentic expression. And I'm curious, you know, why do you think it's important for women to find their voice with money and value in particular?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I mean, money for us, bringing money, making money, all of this is such a direct connection to our connection to and reflection of the extent to which we value what it is that is inside of us that we have to give and contribute. And as we deepen into that value and we open ourselves to greater ideas or education about how to then bring that value out into the world in the most effective ways or creative ways or whatever it is, that can end up being something that, you know, can create a lot of financial prosperity. And so that is so, it's just so important. I think the core of it is, you know, if the conversation is about money and how do I transform my struggles around money, and there can be many, many kinds of struggles around money in our life, I think that the core solution on all of it is the deepening of the sense of value of what we have to give and offer. Now, I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, deepening the sense of value of who we are. Is your own self-value is there, then, you know, as that increases, that's directly related to money. And I get that, but that has always felt for me a little bit, like I get that so deeply, and that's something I have explored so much in my life and continue to. But I do think that it can be an easier thing to access, really looking at, okay, what are the ideas, the creativity, the insights, the whatever it is that I have to contribute, and really looking at getting centered in the value of it, whether it be for helping to transform someone's life or create a new paradigm or a new practice in the world or a new way of doing things, or, you know, just adding beauty to the world. That it's just simply something that is an expression of your soul that you must put out there. The more that we deepen into the fundamental value of that, it can transform the entire rest of our conversation and perspective around money.
That is so true. I've really seen that as one of the biggest myths that we are told, especially as women, that we are not enough. And that this consumerist belief that you have to buy something in order to be enough or to be whole, and people, you know, that manifests in other ways, whether it's I am personally not enough or I will never have enough. And so there's like this grasping for more and more. And all the while we have this infinite reservoir of creative energy and potential in us that is so incredibly valuable. And, you know, I feel like expressing that authentically and removing those blockages and beliefs that keep us hiding and playing it small will truly transform the world. Don't you think so?
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So powerful. So I'm curious, you know, all the people that you've worked with, what ways have you seen, how does shame really come through in relationship dynamics around money?
Oh man, it can be such a deep one. You know, I'll share, I have had experience. I mean, this really started for me when I was younger. I definitely had some experiences. I mean, I have an extraordinary father, so supportive, one of my biggest cheerleaders. And for whatever reason, I had some strange conversations with him about money when I was younger. You know, I remember one of those was about, I just wanted to learn about the stock market. And I had the experience of him explaining things to me and me not understanding and me feeling stupid. And, you know, I never really shared that with him openly. And so I kind of just pretended and went along in the moment, but I didn't understand and I felt stupid and I felt shame about it. And I was probably, you know, end of high school, beginning of college at that time. And then time went on, and you know, in my partnership with David, one who is, you know, my partner, and we have a beautiful son together. We have had some real challenges around communication around money. And one of the things that it came down to is that, you know, there's two big things. I mean, I think that the core of it as it relates to shame is that in our conversation sometimes about money, he felt very confident talking about things related to money. And I felt this feeling that had come up from, like, similar when I was younger, of just feeling kind of stupid. And then I would be more quiet in our conversations around money. And so that shame feeling, not feeling smart, not feeling smart enough, not trusting my ideas. And also in the conversation, I think the way it ended up playing out was that because I was a little more held back and he was a little more forward, then it was just like, I'd be mad. I'd feel like I didn't have space in the conversation and all this stuff, you know? So we would have arguments about money. And that's where that shame, you know, I think that shame really came and played in. And for me, what happened was I finally, one day I said to him, you know what, I realize what's going on for me is that I feel stupid. I am feeling stupid about money and I'm feeling like I don't have enough space to share what my thoughts are and that I need more time in our conversation, more space within our conversation for me to be able to feel into what's true for me and formulate my ideas and then share them. Otherwise, I feel like I'm, you know, a little railroaded, which was so not his intent. But as soon as I shared with him that I felt embarrassed and I felt kind of just not good enough and not smart, then it was like, oh my gosh, it was like the sunlight came in. And he just felt so much compassion what was going on. Of course, I mean, he just, like, you know, really cares about me. So, you know, he's like, that's so not the experience that he wants to be contributing to. And so then we could have, from that place, then it became available for us to have creative conversations about how to really, how to resolve that tension around our relating with finances. And we work some things out, you know. I mean, there's more space in our communication around it, so that it's not as much him, like, leading and, you know, leading it all the time. And I feel more space to be able to feel into during a conversation, okay, what's true for me? What am I not understanding? What am I seeing? Here are my ideas. And then contributing those. And the more that I've done that, the more it's like, of course, I see that things that I think are valuable most of the time. And they add to what we're talking about. I mean, we still have, you know, stuff that comes up around money sometimes, people do from time to time, but it is so much better than it was. And there's not that power struggle thing as much anymore. And I think that the shame, you know, being authentic and just revealing in the moment, hey, you know what, without blame, because that's the thing, right? You know, it's like, hey, I feel stupid. You're making me feel stupid. That's not the way we want to do it. You want to just like be like, oh, wow, I'm having this experience right now feeling like I don't know enough, feeling shame. And I really want to shift that in our connecting around this. Then it invites the other person to come in a different way, and a lot of creativity can come through.
That is so powerful. I'm sure so many of our listeners can relate to that dynamic, because I feel like it's very common, and we're just coming out of generations where women could not own land or manage the finances or even work. You know, it was like, whoa, we've come a long way, and we need to really feel more confident in the value we have to offer. And I find when I suggest that people have money conversations with loved ones, I do like to encourage them to start out with that vulnerability. Like you said, like reveal yourself and say, I'm feeling a little nervous and embarrassed to say this, but I really, you know, want to talk about our inheritance or, you know, whatever topic it is. So to open with that vulnerability and to really be willing. Another important thing you just shared, I feel like, is having the space and the container and the time when both of you are in a good space and able to really have a full conversation. And I even encourage people to actually make it a money date in the calendar and maybe bring along chocolate or some wine or something that like doesn't associate it with the stressful, unpleasant money conversation that we have to have. Let's like make it an enjoyable, intimate experience together, right?
Yeah, totally.
So you work with a lot of people around public speaking, and I would love to hear, advice you have with people. Well, I would love to hear your reframe around that kind of nervous energy before we're about to share or have an important conversation.
This is such a good one. I mean, so, you know, whether it's getting up to speak on a stage in front of a big group of people, or whether it's sitting around a dinner table or at a meeting or wherever it is, right? That's your kind of typical experience of speaking in front of a group. You know, it could be very formal, it could be very informal. But for so many of us, we have this experience of a total freak out inside of our bodies, right? Your heart starts pounding and the anticipation can just be so intense. And a lot of people will avoid situations like that or hate it or will you know, go into them and then feel flustered and unclear and really thrown off when they do communicate. So that's one thing I want to speak about. But, you know, the thing where it also comes up can be in these conversations that we have around tense topics like money sometimes. You know, whether it's sitting down to have a conversation with a partner of yours around money or something like that, that we can have that fear or nervousness come up in our body. And so that's specifically what I'm talking about here. This fear, this nervousness, this intensity of energy in our body. And we all know of certain moments in our life when that has come out. Now, the teaching I want to give about it is that, you know, let's say, for instance, you are standing on a stage or you're standing in front of a group of people and you have all their eyes and ears focused just on you. And so that's a lot of energy coming at you from them. It's invisible, but it's all their presence, all their attention, and it's coming and it's being directed right at you, just this one person. And so in anticipation of that experience, leading up to that experience, your system starts to open the channels, so to speak, to essentially send you more energy so that you can not be completely blown over by all of that energy of attention coming at you from the audience. So literally, really like you're in anticipation of you getting out there to speak in front of a group or on a big stage or whatever the circumstances, the universe is like, you get plugged into the universe and you just start receiving tons of energy or chi through your whole body. And it can feel really, really intense. And when we don't know or understand what it is, then we fear it. We resist it. We want to try to make it go away. We want to try to numb it out. We want to try to, you know, be able to not have that feeling anymore so that we can feel free to get out there and speak. And that's a huge confusion, I think, that is prevalent amongst people in doing any kind of speaking in front of groups, because that energy is actually the very real feeling of your power. And you need it. It's good. It actually allows what you have to say to have weight and to have presence and be able to effectively land with people, and that there's creativity in that energy. There is something in your system knows there's creativity in it to actually be able to give what it is that you have to give or say in that moment. And so you don't want to try to make it go away. You don't want to, you know, you're not a victim to it. It's not some like terrible, awful thing that is happening to you and it's invaded your body. You have to get rid of it. The secret is to just simply say yes to it. You end the war against it by just feeling it fully and saying yes to it. And the moment you start saying yes to it, and you can just say yes again and again to it, that your relationship to it will shift. So what was once filled with a lot of suffering all of a sudden becomes filled with a lot of grace. And in that moment, what ends up happening is you, all of a sudden, you might still feel an enormous amount of energy in your body, but you're not at war with yourself or with that energy anymore. And so it can actually become more pleasurable. It can actually stop feeling so bad because the connection you have to it isn't bad anymore. You're saying yes to it. All of a sudden, it's like you have a lot of energy in your body, and it can feel very alive, very awake, very full of just potent life force. And for some people, you know, it can really become something that is very joyful and deeply pleasurable experience to have that intense energy in their body before they go to speak, because they recognize, this is me turned all the way up. Now, there's a lot of practices that I teach about then what do you do with that energy, because it's a lot. You know, how do we ground with it? How do we, you know, be able to effectively use it and channel it so that it's really masterful what we're doing with it, so that what we say is powerful and how it lands. Now, this similar energy can come up for us sometimes in these intense conversations. This is what a friend of mine calls that you got to have a brave conversation, right? It's a conversation where there is, you know, could have shame underneath it is oftentimes what's there, or there's some truth that needs to be expressed, or there's something there that has creative potential, but we feel a lot of energy in our body about having like a, you know, a real like sit down conversation about finances, a lot of energy in our body. And so we can feel afraid in that moment to the point of having it shut us down. So what my practice is, and I got to tell you, this is my practice. I mean, it's something I have to rely on all the time, is continually saying yes to this intensity of energy in my body, and to, especially when it comes to, you know, having these brave conversations, to really feel inside myself, really feel my body and let myself ground. That there's something about being able to let yourself ground that is very important. There's a couple of ways that I do that, and it's very physical for me. You know, one way that I teach is definitely to, you know, like putting a lot of attention. There's like a Qigong practice, okay? Like taking your hands above your head and you start moving them down one on top of another, like you're moving through like your hands are pressing down through really thick molasses, like a very slow elevator. And they just move slowly, slowly, slowly all the way down your body. So slow, and then eventually come to rest on your lower belly, above your pubic bone, below your belly button. And just simply breathing into that space, taking a moment before you do any communication to do that. can help bring some of the energy out of your head and being in whatever story is going on there of reaction, and get you grounded down in the center of yourself so you can speak from a more centered place and feel a sense more safety. This will help give you like a feeling of safety in the moment. And the other one that I teach is, and there's so many different ways to do all this, but one that's super popular in my work, that it works. I mean, it really is amazing. It's going to sound totally crazy. But I guarantee you I've taught this work now to thousands of women around the world. And even some who thought this was a totally wacky notion, once they tried it, they were like, oh my gosh, I was such a disbeliever, but this is incredible. It's to feel like you have a tail. And you have a tail extending from the base of your tailbone. If you just walk around for a moment and feel your tail dragging on the floor, maybe it's like whipping a little at the end, it's incredible what that will do for helping you to essentially allow your nervous system to relax, because the tail is like an extension of the tailbone. And when you feel the tail, it just sends this automatic wave of like nourishing energy through our whole system. And it's amazing. It's one of the most effective things that women I work with do to help be a yes with, and help to ground and feel just a sense of greater safety and presence and relaxedness, even in the intensity of energy before they get up to speak. And it can work amazing things too, sitting down when you need to have a brave conversation with somebody. So those are two great body practices. I have one like question that you can ask yourself, but I just want to check in with you and see if you have any thoughts or questions about any of that before I get into that.
Yeah, there is so much there. I do. Yeah, I just like to respond to that safety piece. You know, I feel like, because when it is around money, that it often is so personal and so tied up with people's identity and self-worth, that it can seem so scary to like really express our needs, or, hey, I really feel like I should get paid more, and really approach our boss. And so I totally believe and have experienced the power of actually energetically and physically grounding to be able to more clearly channel that energy and let it come forth. So I just feel like that, you know, sense of safety and security is so important when dealing with finances.
Yes, it's huge. It's huge. Yeah, it really, it makes such a difference, being able to, because it's a very physical thing. The fear, the nervousness that comes up for us before we speak, it affects us physically, and it affects our nervous systems. And when our nervous systems are like hijacked, that's the kind of term people have used, you know, your nervous system gets hijacked, you're triggered, right? You're feeling afraid, you're feeling angry, you're feeling all this stuff. It's intense. You know, sometimes you just got to ride out a little bit and then come back to center. But there are things that we can do in preparation before you go to have a conversation around money, knowing, you know, okay, like, it is an important thing for me to feel grounded in myself, to feel safe in myself when I'm talking about money, so I can do the best job that I can to be clear, to be real, and to access my creativity and my intelligence in this. So getting grounded in our body is a huge thing that we can do as women to help us access that, because it's huge for us.
Right. So many people discount that and feel like it's not important, but it really is so crucial. I do want to get to that question for listeners. Let's take a moment for a word from our sponsor, and then we can jump into that. All right, here we go.
Ugh, not another money fight with your loved one. The yelling, the tears. It hurts so much when we're struggling financially. Money stress is the number one cause of divorce in America. Don't let it happen to you. 80% of spouses admit to hiding purchases from each other. Register for this free video training at discoveryourtruewealth.com and learn to avoid the three biggest mistakes that lead to financial stress. Trust me, those you love will thank you for upgrading your skills to build true wealth. Plus, by using the tips in this training, one woman boosted her credit score in less than 10 minutes. You are not alone in this. go to discoveryourtruewealth.com and connect with a network of supportive women to create lasting change in your life.
So it's Crystal back here with Casey Baker, and what an incredible conversation today about supporting women to really, through some simple, practical skills, really boost your ability to communicate more effectively and have the influence that you really want, whether it's in your work or in your family. It is just so inspiring for both of us to see all the women that we work with and what is possible when we bring forth our true value and really claim that. And so Casey would like to hand it over to you again.
Great, thank you. Yeah, you know, the core, I think I mentioned this right at the very beginning of our interview, like so much of our challenges around money, whatever the challenges are, the root can so much of the time lie in the questioning, the doubting of the value that we have to offer, whether that's our insights, our ideas, our creativity, our solutions, our wisdom, whatever it is. And when we doubt that, when there's a fundamental doubt of the value of that, then it can so deeply affect our ability to communicate clearly in the moment or feel, and it can hold us back from then giving in the ways that we feel called to give, which is so essential for us to do that in order to bring in that financial prosperity in our life. So the thing that I want to say about this is I would love to offer a reframe here on this questioning of the value of what you have to give. Now, oftentimes, and I work with a lot of women who, for example, they have an idea that they want to share with the world, right? They have been moved in some degree in their life, and then they have received an idea, and they're like, wow, I really want to put this thing out into the world, or say this thing, or share these ideas, or share this wisdom. And the feeling inside of doubting the value of it, whether people will respond to it, whether people will like it, you know, or oftentimes the question will come, well, so-and-so is already doing something very similar, you know, and they're already so much further ahead. Who am I to do this? Right? Who am I? The voice inside my head, what she loves to say is, who do you think you are? That's the voice in my head that says that. And when talking with women, there's all kinds of ideas and like that little voice in there. They kind of a little bullying. So here is the shift around this doubting around the value that I want to share with you, that I share with women that I work with. So if you have an idea, and it could be something you want to say or something you want to create, you know, especially if it's an idea that is a concept, a perspective that you want to share, the chances are that that is an idea whose time has come. That if you're receiving it and you feel compelled to share it, that there is a natural intelligence that that idea is one that needs to be shared, okay? And the thing that happens is that, you know, we take it all so personally. If we receive an idea, a piece of creativity in our life, you know, we take it all so personally and make it mean about us, as opposed to realizing that this idea is working through us to get out into the world. It's like the idea has its own sort of divine agenda that is a mystery, but it has its own divine agenda, and it's looking for receptors for people to bring it to life. And if you are questioning your own validity as a receptor of that idea to receive it, even though you are receiving it, but you're just not opening to the actual pass-through of it, if you're questioning your own validity as a receiver of it and you feel, and it's like being not good enough, you are essentially closing down that receptor for that idea to come through into our world. And that's a huge kink in the system. Because we need you to be open to sharing the ideas and the creativity that are flowing through you, because there are people out there who can only receive, understand, and integrate that idea if they receive it through you and not someone else over there, right? There might be someone else over there who's sharing an idea or piece of creativity that's similar to that, to who you are. That's similar to the idea that you're sharing, or actually it could be, you know, like the same idea, but the thing is that you, your essence, the story that you have about that idea, the story you have about how that idea came to you, your own unique flavor and energy of how you want to express that idea or that piece of creativity, it has its own particular mark on it. It's like a lock and a key, that there are people who will only be able to receive that from you, and they won't be able to receive it from someone else because they're not vibing with them. And that's very important. That's why it's so important to just be a yes to being a channel, to being a full open receptor to the ideas and the creativity that flows through you, because there are people who can only receive that idea or that creativity through you. And if you don't, then they may not be able to receive that idea or that transmission or that impact through someone else because it's not a match energetically. So that's why it's really important for you to not only share the idea that you have or the creativity that you have to share, but to be so fully yourself and to be authentic in how you do it, because that's the match. It's the thing itself plus your essence that vibes with the people that are designed to be opened by you and your idea and what you're creating. And it's not personal.
What do you mean by that?
So I mean that the idea that's coming through you, it's not even necessarily about you and whether you are good enough to share it. If you are receiving that idea or that piece of creativity and you have the desire and the longing to bring it out into the world, that is all that you need to have permission or the authority to be able to do it.
Wow, this is so crucial for people to understand and really feel more empowered and more confident in speaking their unique gift. And I feel like I see that all the time, that people are doubting themselves and their abilities and their gifts, and yet the world needs us more than ever. And that fear of, like, not being received or so heartbreaking how many people have these gifts and capacities and inspiration but feel like they can't make money at it, right? That belief that it doesn't fit into some box of what our society says is valuable. And really, honestly, what we need today more than ever is out-of-the-box thinking and authentic creativity and bold expressions of reimagining our whole society. And I feel like that claiming our authentic value, as you're speaking about it, brings a deep satisfaction that money just can't buy. It's like when we feel like we are doing our work and we're living in purpose and we are expressing ourselves clearly, and then the bonus of being well received and appreciated, money as a form of one of the forms of appreciation, that deep satisfaction that we can feel like we're using this life well. Have you experienced that?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes, absolutely. I mean, when you're so connected to the passion and the deep why of what you're doing, in a sense of feeling, for me, it does occur like a sense of feeling called to do it, right? The commitment, when you commit to something like that, I think the power of commitment is very important, and it has been for me in my life with my work, you know, because I remember, several years ago when I started my business, I mean, it's been probably 6-7 years ago now, that I encountered fear and I encountered a lot of doubt at the beginning. It's a lot. And David, we had a commitment ceremony where he essentially guided me to commit to this work that I was going to do and bring into the world for 12 months. And at any time fear or self-doubt arose around not knowing how to do certain things, which is a big one for me, right? I don't know how, that it just stopped me, right? And the doubt, you know, anytime the doubt or the fear arose that I would just stay in action anyway, that was the commitment. And that changed my life. And that's the power of commitment. You know, when we have that thing that we receive that is beyond us, that is bigger than us, and we commit to it, and we recognize that no matter what my limitations are, no matter, you know, what comes up for me, I am committed to following through on this and to being in action around this, then everything else becomes figure outable. It's really, really important, the commitment piece. And I think it's huge around our relationship with building businesses and money and all of this.
Yeah, that is certainly foundational to creating greater prosperity, is a commitment to ourselves and also, you know, a legacy of what true wealth is, and how Casey and I both have young children, and just how we teach our children and what is that legacy of true wealth and how we create that in our lifetimes and how we choose to pass that on to future generations. And I find it so heartbreaking in that there are so financial conversations in the family are either avoided or, stressful for people that they aren't really getting the outcomes they want, that a lot of inheritances are not, you know, passed through in the way that people desired because there wasn't planning ahead of time. It's like so important to have that commitment and, like you said, be willing to stay in action and keep that bigger perspective of our legacy so that we can take the sometimes uncomfortable steps or ask for the help we need or invest in the training or find the support group of women that we need to become our fuller, more prosperous selves.
So true. That's beautiful.
Anything else you'd like to say around that thread of legacy?
Legacy. Well, you know, I mean, legacy really is the thing. I don't know if you're familiar with Barbara Stanley's work, but she writes about women and money. Her work has been really big for me. And she has a book called Sacred Success. And, you know, it comes back to me a lot because, you know, basically she's interviewed like all these women, seven-figure women, about, well, you know, about their journey. And what she found for all of them was that every single one of them was they were never motivated by money or by how much money they could make. It wasn't the thing that kept them going. And it wasn't the thing that, that really had them grow to that level. And it wasn't either even necessarily like needing to have more power or influence. It was about the vision that they saw possible for the world and their commitment to leaving a legacy, them recognizing that their life and their lifetime is about planting the seeds for something that will flourish and grow way beyond their own lifetime. And that's the thing that really drove them. And I find that extremely true for myself. This feeling that the legacy piece is huge. And so I think that, you know, for anyone here in their work or wanting to really grow and expand in our relationship with money and our impact, that for all of us to just get so centered in what is the vision that we see that's possible and our part in it, and make it, you know, if this feels true for you, to just make it so big, and really let your heart just be so moved by that vision, so moved to the extent that it's like you can't not do it because you know, because you've had the vision, you know how good it can be. how important, how crucial it is. And then when you make a commitment to that, that's where worlds move. And we find the strength in ourselves. We find the clarity in ourselves, the wisdom, the intelligence. We become the women. That focus on legacy and that commitment guides us to becoming the women that will be, you know, making whatever it is that you feel, you know, whatever it is that's going to happen, whether it's becoming someone who is making millions of dollars, you will become that woman. But the commitment will guide you in the growth that is necessary to become that woman. You don't have to be that woman first to start off in order to get there. It's okay if you don't have it all figured out. It's okay if you are filled with tons of doubt. Like, it's fine. That's part of it. The process itself is going to grow you.
Oh, so true. Ah, yeah. Everyone just take a breath and let that sink in. I feel your fierce call to, like, service. Like, let us women be heard and be so brilliant and really claim our value. I've also been reflecting on the power of connection, you know, and connection means a lot of things, and that connection really being the source of our value, whether it's connection to ourselves and the way we care for ourselves and connect spiritually and physically, the way that we connect with our families and the way we connect through our service in the world, and all those ways in which the suffering and the pain that comes from the feeling the disconnection and the blockages, whether we're feeling in poverty because not enough money is flowing back in appreciation for our service, and how to reestablish that sense of worth that lets us express our true value. So curious if you have anything to say with people who may be struggling with feeling disconnected in any of those ways, how to become more connected.
And disconnected from, like, the sense of the vision that they have, or what is it, what piece is it?
It could go in any direction. I could imagine us, because we're talking about conversations with money, a disconnection in a conversation, or with your audience?
Well, usually if there's a disconnection, and I see this time and time again, if there's a disconnection, we are disconnected from the value of what we have to say. We're disconnected from the gift that we're there to give, or the vision that we have of what it is that we want to create. So it could be a sitting down to have a conversation with your partner about money, and if there's a feeling of disconnection, you guys aren't seeing eye to eye, that chances are it's very likely that maybe there's a disconnection for you or for both of you with, like, okay, what is all this for? What are we managing all this money for? What is it that we want to create together? What's our vision of the future together? And when that becomes clear, then it's so much easier to have authentic, creative conversations. And, you know, you might have to have a brave conversation like I've had to have. You know, like, hey, I just noticed I feel dumb. Like, I feel stupid. And I think that's why I'm coming into play here. And I really don't want to be coming from that place. And then we could have a much more creative conversation about how to support it being different. So that disconnection can completely happen because either we don't have a shared vision, or that disconnection can happen because we aren't being totally authentic in the moment. Maybe we're playing out some kind of role, or we're performing in some way, right? So if we're disconnected oftentimes from the audience, it might be that we're performing something rather than just being there authentically speaking to the audience. And that requires vulnerability. Right. It's like for me in my conversations financially with David, we were kind of playing out this whole, like, he's a provider. He's so smart. He knows what to do with the money. I'm receiving. He's providing. You know, this is especially, like, this came up for us mostly when I got when I had my baby, because I turned my business down a little bit after I had my son. And man, you know, that's when it really came up for us big time. And I just, you know, we had to take an honest look at like, oh, that's kind of the role that we're like playing with each other right now. And that's not really true for us. It doesn't feel good. Maybe there's some kind of like strange romantic element to it, but it actually doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel true for us. And so who do we need to be? How can we be ourselves? And so that requires having very brave conversations, very vulnerable conversations that are without blame. And when we do that, we're like, hey, I notice that I'm feeling stupid right now. I notice that I'm feeling like I need more space to be able to share my ideas. And when we can say that without blame, then it invites a lot more connection. Then we can get on the same page. And then from there, be able to have more creativity together.
Totally. That's so well put. I'm curious, what other fears of being financially powerful have you seen or experienced?
Fears of being financially powerful. Well, I mean, I think, you know, for me, and I think I've talked with a lot of women about this. I have a couple women in my life who have been great people who've helped me think through a lot of different things. I mentioned Barbara Stanny. Jennifer Love is another one. You know, the fear that we have around this, like, so there's this whole romantic notion that we've had for a long time as women of, you know, men being the provider, women receiving, but there's nothing wrong with that. That's a beautiful, it can be a beautiful dynamic. It can be a beautiful way to relate and to experience receiving. And, you know, just because a man is providing financially doesn't, I mean, a woman may be providing obviously many, many, many other capacities in the relationship. It's not like one has a higher value than the other. But when it comes to money, then sometimes that dance can have some interesting side effects. That I have seen if certain things have not been cleared or addressed or are still lying in the shadows. And so what some of those things are is like, you know, some women might hold back on being financially powerful in their life because they're afraid of not being attractive to a man. They're afraid of not, of then canceling out the opportunity for having a man to provide for them. And that is, you know, which can be a very romantic feeling. It can bring about feelings of like, oh, I want a man to come along and take care, you know, provide and take care of things. And that we feel a feeling of like the promise of being loved in that. And that's a beautiful thing. There's nothing to judge that. And that can actually be true. But the thing is that when we play ourselves down in order to increase our chance of receiving that, it will never end up working out well or feeling good because if you have the desire to bring forth that which is in you, in life, in the world, to contribute to our world, and you are not doing that to the extent that you know is possible for you because you want to remain somehow attractive to a man, it's going, and time and again, I've seen it time and again. You know, I think that what can so often happen is that there will end up being resentment of some kind. And so there's ways in which that affects the relationship. But what it also does is that affects a woman's sense of, you know, deep pride in herself of like, there's nothing in me that's held back in bringing what I have to bring to the world. And ultimately, I think that all of us have a desire within us to feel like, you know what, I'm going out of my life when I die knowing that I gave it my all, that I gave to the fullest extent of my creativity and my power and my love and my contribution, that I didn't hold back. It's a soul thing for us. And if that, you know, is what's running you, then, you know, I think that's something you can't deny. And so holding that back because we're afraid we won't be attractive or we won't get the kind of love that we want that still happens for women, even in this day and age, you know, even though we've been, you know, most of us are, you know, just, you know, educated and raised not to necessarily believe in that stuff. That's still something that exists in our psyche. And I, you know, for me, I feel like, you know, the only you know, it's like kind of like the only way to fully receive. And if it was to receive something, you know, someone like contributing to your life financially, is the only way. It's like if there was any way of playing down my power or my ability to create in order to receive that, it's not going to be fully received.
So
and
true.
It won't be totally clean. Yeah.
Right. Wow. I love, so if people are listening today in the last few minutes, would love to let them know how they can connect with you more and what you've got coming up.
Great. Well, I definitely want to recommend, I have a free video. It's a 4-part video training series. It's called Speak Your Truth, Change the World. And I highly recommend it to anybody that's on this call, whether it's, you know, whether you want to get out there and do public speaking, whether it's just a matter of feeling more free to speak your truth in any situation, money-wise, whatever it may be. This will help to reframe so many of the things that, some of the things that we talked about today, plus a bunch of other additional things, so that you can feel greater clarity and resting in yourself, just being in your truth, regardless of the circumstance. And so that is, you can actually go and get that at speakup.kcbaker.com. So it's speakup.kcbaker.com. And again, it's totally free, and we'll you can just sign up and we get you access right away to the videos. And I think that that's something that would just be super useful if you're wanting to feel greater freedom from fear or doubt of any kind and being powerful in your life.
Wonderful. Such a great offer for people. You know, I watched that and was totally blown away. Like, it totally impacted me, just feeling that greater confidence and just the ability to use my energy more masterfully. Love what you're bringing to the world, and to know that so many people are stepping into their power and their authentic voice. And yeah, curious if you have any closing remarks here.
Oh, closing remarks. Well, I mean, first of all, I just want to say how much respect I have for any woman who wants to take on being powerful in her life with money and with contributing the fullness of what she has to contribute to this world, because it is the most important thing we can be doing, not just for ourselves, but for our entire society and civilization, really. Because when a woman feels powerful to contribute in the ways that she wants and powerful with money, the impact of that is so beneficial for our whole world, because women naturally, we just naturally want to take care of our communities, whether it's our family, our extended family, people around us, whatever it is, we just are naturally inclined that way. So I have such respect and gratitude, and I know what a deep journey that is. I'm on it all the time. I am constantly evolving and having to move through my fears and my limitations to be more of who I fully am and give all that I have to give. And it's formidable. So I'm just so grateful, and you don't have to do it alone. I'm so glad you have this incredible community here, and be delighted to, you know, continue to support you. Again, great. If you want to come do the free video training series, I think it'd be really valuable. And again, just a huge, huge gratitude to you all for being on this journey. And it really benefits all of us that you are.
So true. Yeah, so much appreciation for you and the way you support women to shine more. It's like we're all gold mines inside and just have incredible riches to share and to prosper. So much for your time today, Kate.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to subscribe to the show and rate and review our podcast at iTunes. Be sure to visit www.moneymorphosis.com. That's money-morphosis.com to join the growing community of empowered women who are dedicated to creating the true wealth they deserve.